Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So what happened here is supposedly they found this little place where Adamski did his fake photos. And they confronted Adamski with what he did. This is back in the 1950s. And Adamski actually proudly showed off his work. He was proud of those photos at the time. Now, obviously, we have Ray Stanford to depend on for accurately reporting this. We know about memories. But something like that, one wouldn't think they'd get wrong.
So
looking at UFO photos, the sort of the first two things I ask, you know, wonder if it's fake is, first of all, does it look like a saucer? And then secondly, is it centered in the frame? Because every time I've tried to photograph anything moving, it's not centered in the picture. You're lucky to get a corner of it. So I think, you know, I'm very suspicious, particularly of saucer-shaped UFOs. I'm not sure that those are, you know, even Kenneth Arnold, his work somewhat disc-shaped, but they didn't look like hubcaps.
Right. Yeah. And of course, interesting in and of itself that once that term flying saucer got popularized, well, then the disc shape became more prevalent. And I guess now, you know, there's more, what do they say? There's more orb, more circular, more. It seems like maybe the flying disc is not as commonly reported. There's more triangles, more tic-tacs, right, and all these kind of various things. And speaking, but you guys mentioned nobody getting run out of the field for being dishonest, but what do you think is anything going to happen with certain organizations which accepted a lot of money for allegedly planning to build a flying saucer and thinking of PTSA here, right? And you think they'll be, I mean, you can't go out and sell stock promising you're going to build a flying saucer and then just leave with the money. I would think you can't. Maybe you can, but
in their case, that was only part of their grand plan. It was supposed to be a line of educational material and films. It's supposed to be an entire franchise that, you know, and you invested. I'm not sure what exactly how much ownership you had in that, but, you know, at least, you know, part of it in a sense. Now the company essentially is selling T-shirts and. That's about it.
I notice here, of course, it was started by this rock musician from Blink 182. And he apparently went back to his band. So I don't know.
The one claim that I heard, and you know, I would have to look at the financials to see if there's any support to this. He made a movie, Monsters of California, something like that. And the allegation was that the investor money went into that. And it was... I don't know if there are any UFOs at all in that movie, but that seems like a case of misdirection if that's where the money went.
Well, that would certainly violate SEC regulations, but it's not as if they have enough personnel to go after anything but the major offenders.
Right. Yeah.
Well, again, it's white-collar crime, and, you know, there are very few of those folks who have ever ended up behind bars.
You know, I wonder if any of the leaks will be investigated even, right? I mean, I know there's been some talk about that, but who's releasing some of these things from inside the Pentagon, you know, the gimbal, and we all have our suspicions probably, but, you know, was there, and I think I'd heard rumors that had been kind of checked into by officials, but, you know, a lot of this kind of stuff, and, you know, bringing out UFO photos. Hey, I love seeing UFO photos, right? But, you know, a person thinking that they're righteous in doing so because of their, you know, wanting to promote UFO information. I don't know. We'll see if anybody gets in any kind of trouble for any of this stuff.
But that would bring attention to them, don't you think?
Yeah.
So if somebody says something like a David Grush, say he really has information there. He's not just trying to cover up his personal experience. He's not imagining it. He's not misinterpreting it. He's right, 100% right. They wouldn't go after him because if they do, it draws attention.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Of course, then we could say the same thing, though, if Grush's story is about people being killed to promote the cover-up, right? We would kind of maybe bring in that same. And again, he's kind of always very vague in terms of, has it been the UFOs killing people or people being killed by other people to cover up the UFO story? But, yeah, I mean, yeah, you'd think the mysterious, the murders to keep the cover-up going, that would be there'd be a similar problem there, right? If you killed somebody, you'd just kind of turn them into a martyr. Yeah, there's a lot there to think about.
The classic Man in Black theory.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Psychologist, I want to ask you about the videos you were just talking about. So the people always want to see detailed photos of UFOs. These videos are not yet. They're indistinct. They're, you know, the shapes are, you know, it's a little blurry. And what are we looking at? Is this a Rorschach blot?
Yeah, that's my personal take, at least, right, that, you know, I go all the way back to, I'm kind of a Jungian guy. I'm a fan of Carl Jung, that UFOs are kind of an ink blot, right? A Rorschach blot that we all kind of perceive based on our own experience and our own desires and our own, you know, needs and things like that. I don't think that in my lifetime we'll ever have any kind of definitive proof of a non-human intelligence or an extraterrestrial. I think, you know, like I say, I think UFOs live in the margins. I think as we try to turn our attention to them when we want a better picture or, a real live alien or a real dead alien or, you know, those kind of things. I don't personally think we'll ever get anything solidly confirming a lot of the UFO ideas. I think it'll be an ongoing thing where people, it says maybe more about us than it does about anything extraterrestrial. At least that's my take. I think there was a line Gray Barker used. I wish I had the exact quote, but it was along the lines of, if you want to know the origin of UFO, look inside yourself. That's where UFO.
I think early on Gray Barker decided not to take it seriously.
Yeah.
And therefore he went on to his various types of information. But in They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers, that was very much paranoia strikes deep. And a borderline. But then there's something else there that bothers me about all this, especially when we talk about Jungian issues. I know that Kevin Randall has done some research into this, where UFOs appear to cause so-called electromagnetic effects. They come near a car, the car is disabled. He talked of cases where cameras would not work. You couldn't use them when a UFO was near. This is kind of like the stories you hear where abductees set up cameras. So when E.T. comes, or Colin, they take a picture, but they always fail. They don't work. On the other hand, this is two topics we can get into in the next segment. On the other hand, you have all these photos of what people see as distinct objects, and then all you get is a blur. And what occurs to me, speaking of blurs, maybe we fill in the details, and what's there is nothing more than a blur. That if you actually looked at it without our filtering process, the core image is a blur, but when our minds process it, we make it into a flying saucer or a triangle or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the old joke. Maybe UFO photos are blurry because UFOs themselves are blurry. Maybe they fly around like blurry blobs in the sky.
Yeah. Sounds like the song I remember from the movie The Blob. Beware of the blob. It creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch. Be careful of the blob. There was actually a song from a group called The Five Blobs, which came out around the time that the movie The Blob, with Steve McQueen was in it, I think, came out back in the 1950s. And its success was a blob. But I thought it was kind of fun, though. You have this thing, this liquefied substance that just takes over and kills people. It's the ultimate paranoia. We're not striking deep with paranoia here with Dr. Tim Brigham. We've got Kurt Collins. We've got Gene Steinberg, who holds no doctorates, maybe even from the fake schools. Not the $29 minister degrees, but Jim Moseley had one. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach. The dead doctors don't lie guy says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Did you know that, Tim, that Jim Moseley had his doctorate in whatever?
So Life Church or something, or what was I don't know. I can't remember.
Something like that.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned right before the break there about electromagnetic effects, and I recall actually as you mentioned, you know, even people who have had their own experiences sometimes report ongoing issues with electric devices and such. And anyway, long story short, one of the first, back in Gulf Breeze in the 90s, one of the first kind of little moments I had, I had met Whitley Strieber. Jim and I had talked with Whitley out at the conference, and we were in the elevator. I don't think Jim was with us in the elevator. I think it was just Whitley and I and a couple other people. And anyway, the elevator stopped working. We were in between floors, and the elevator just went on the fritz and paused and stalled, and somebody in the elevator made the comment, "Whitley, did you do that?" Right? And his response, "I don't know." Right? But he always reported these ongoing issues with electrical malfunctions. Yeah, so I just remember that moment many years ago. Which, you know, there's a lot of electromagnetic stuff that seems to be associated with UFOs, right? And even some ideas that people put out there that maybe there's a, you know, what was it? John Keel even had his ideas about the electromagnetic spectrum and possibly, you know, things from other parts of the electromagnetic spectrum coming into our part of the spectrum. And, yeah.
What if that was the answer? You know, there's so many people that are invested. I mean, the whole organization, MUFON, is basically devoted towards the extraterrestrial hypothesis. But what if it was something else like the electrical or, you know, atmospheric? Would these people accept that, do you think?
That's a good question. That's a good question. There's a large need, I think, or desire, or whatever you want to call it, in many people to. There's a need for something else that's not human, that mysterious, that would be non-human intelligence. That, you know, to me, and this is, might sound kind of like a trope, but you know, and just like people always saw angels come from the sky, and then we turn that into saucers and aliens from the sky, and yeah, I, you know, to get to the point, I guess, Kurt, if it was proven that it was something that was not extraterrestrial, or yeah, there might be certain explanations that people wouldn't be satisfied by, right? Yeah.
Well, the thing that bothers me about MUFON is the way they take the information. And just very recently, we had Mindy Totfest, who is one of the MUFON officials who came on the show to talk about her book on near-death experiences. And I asked her, and she never really answered it very well. Don't know if you heard the episode, Kurt. And it's something I've asked MUFON. Why don't you have questions in your questionnaires looking into hitchhiker effects, after effects, background of seeing psychic phenomena, all that stuff? They're looking at the UFO as an external event. You see something up there, you write it down. Or something near you, and you write it down. And her answer, which is just what the people from MUFON, other officials, like even directors, would say is, well, if the person who saw the object volunteers it, we'll record it. Mm-hmm. Fine. But maybe the person isn't aware this is something connected to the UFO. They don't see it as connected, even though it might be. So I think it's like MUFON's throwing away half the evidence.
Yeah.
The questionnaire, though, is so limiting. For one thing, there's this list of shapes and behaviors, and it's like, to me, it's a little too suggestive. Mm-hmm. I mean, just as an interviewer can be about what it asks. But, yeah, I just don't think a lot of people's experiences can be readily turned into a form or a standard interview.
Yeah, there's a lot of intricacies there. There's a lot of different stuff involved. And you know, a crucial point there, I think, maybe is that what's even involved in UFOs to one person might not be relevant, you know, or they'd like it not to be relevant in any way, at least, right? These ideas about kind of, I don't know what you want to call it, more general paranormal effects that people sometimes report that go along with their UFO story, right? And, yeah, certain people are only interested in the very prescribed, what did the object do, right? And what was the end of it and the beginning of it? And, you know, not much more than that. But I think, personally, I think there's more to be had by digging into the person, right? And what the impact was for the person.
It's like asking somebody, what kind of UFO did you see? What about saying, what did you see?
Yeah.
You saw something, tell us what it is. No check boxes, please, on the forms. Because that way, it focuses your thought into a specific area that might not represent what you saw. It's the same thing I would think in terms of doing hypnotic regression and why there's a problem with people who do it in connection with UFO abductions. The more they focus on an event, the more they manipulate the memory to signify that event, rather than being more general. Did you see something? Okay, what did you see? Not, did you see a flying saucer? Not, what was this, what was that? Try to get the individual to volunteer something without leading them on. In fact, I remember this is something that Kurt, you might recall. We had Dr. David Jacobs on the show the last time he was on the Paracast. And after this, I don't think he'd want to be back. We were on there when Chris O'Brien was co-host. And I asked him, what about leading questions? Do you take care not to do that during your hypnotic sessions? And he said, there are no leading questions.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and you know, that as we, I think we know a little more now about how, for example, Bud Hopkins and Jacobs maybe as well did their, you guys may have heard from people that have kind of talked about this now, they would oftentimes send out a questionnaire ahead of meeting the person with these questions about, did you see a gray alien? Did you see this? Did you see that? Was there any involvement of, you know, fertilization? And, the, you know, so before the person even arrives, you've already primed them to know what you expect to hear, right? You know, you've already kind of set up what the narrative might be just by asking these detailed questions about, you know, the eye scan and all the kind of stuff that David Jacobs would talk about, right? We can also be very suggestive and leading without recognizing that we're doing so. So that could, you know, certainly be the case with some folks that have a specific narrative that they promote.
So in general, does hypnotic regression have any value at all?
Hypnotic regression can kind of anecdotally be useful in certain circumstances, right? But by and large, And similar to if we were to use, you know, kind of guided imagination or guided imagery, right? You know, one of my mentors in clinical work talks about it as, you know, when people have memories that are kind of hazy and they're not sure, it's almost like, you know, being in a big murky lake, right? There's some stuff that's kind of floating up on the surface that you can see, you can deal with. But as you start trying to dig down deeper and deeper, right, you try to pull stuff up from the bottom of the lake. Well, you're also pulling up soot and mud and, you know, things are floating around and you never really know what you're grabbing down there, right? Whether it's really a real thing or something you heard about and there's really no way to tell, right? The negative impact of that can be probably outweigh the benefit for most people. So, you know, I think these days it's been pretty well accepted that hypnotic regression is not an accurate way to retrieve memory. Right? There can be therapeutic benefits, and you might hear a case where a cop, you know, the classic thing, you know, somebody gets hypnotized and recalls a license plate number, right? But those are all very, very kind of rare and you know, the exception more than the rule, I think.
We've got some more rare stuff to present here. Tim, Gene, Kurt, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
News update. This Sunday morning, United Auto Workers still on strike, but negotiations are ongoing.
I think we deserve more pay. I've been here 24 years and ain't had a raise in 8 years.
General Motors CEO Mary Barra tells CBS that UAW's demands are not sustainable.
We have to make sure the company's going to succeed for the next 115 years.
I'm Jeremy Scott.
The Attorney General in Texas back on the job after being cleared of all charges. USA's John Schaefer with details.
Ken Paxton has been cleared of all charges. and will retain his office. State senators deliberated on 16 articles of impeachment, ultimately acquitting him.
There is a health update about a former U.S. president, Jason Carter, the grandson of Jimmy Carter and wife Rosalind, says the two are at home on hospice nearing the end of their lives. Jason Carter telling USA Today, they're coming to the end as we know. This is USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, someone practicing what you do, people who have suffered some kind of stress, Tim Brigham, what can you hope to do, or can you hope to do anything, if somebody has experienced trauma but can't recall it, but it's impacting their behavior, their life?
Yeah, that's actually a really great question. That's a huge thing that comes up, especially when we're talking about early life stuff sometimes. Often, you know, it might be early life abuse or trauma, or, you know, even later military service, war stuff. Point being that memory for trauma is oftentimes really shoddy, really bad, and trying to pull it back out, right, is not always useful, right? And then I've worked with people who've spent a lot of time, you know, asking questions, did this really happen, or what happened, and when did it happen, and what were the details, and how do I heal if I don't remember? But in actuality, you know, and therapeutically, it's not really required to remember all the details to heal from something, right? So we kind of deal with it as what the currently experienced symptoms are, right? What is it causing in your life now? What are the issues now that you deal with, right? As opposed to, so, yeah, trying to pull old memories up is oftentimes, you know, for people that have done it, not necessarily really even useful. So you don't have to remember to heal, which is an interesting thing that might be, you know, kind of counterintuitive at first. But you don't have to remember all the details of a trauma to be able to heal from it.
Could you explain that in more detail?
Yeah. You know, early life trauma especially, you know, that stuff is often happens before we even have the brain structures that we need to be able to sufficiently recall those things accurately, right? And memory's so tricky anyway that, you know, long story short is that the benefit from trying to remember details isn't always that great, at least in my experience, right? People going with what they already remember is usually what I suggest, and not trying to fish something out that they think maybe they forgot or repressed, or, you know, there's those kinds of ideas. Usually, in my experience, the benefit from that's not been huge.
There's a lot of mythology about hypnosis. So everything from the Manchurian Candidate to, you know, just anything. So what is the realistic benefit that a person could get from hypnosis, you know, therapeutic? Or, you know, I always heard about people quitting smoking from hypnosis. What can you really do with it?
Yeah, that's you know, those kinds of things are often what there's still a lot of use for. Relaxation, right? Trying to help people kind of learn how to be embodied and be relaxed and, you know, live in moment. And even some kind of, like you mentioned, quitting smoking, things like that. What it comes down to oftentimes is certain people are able to be hypnotized and certain ones aren't. You know, it's a kind of a personal characteristic, and there's a wide range of you know, susceptibility to hypnosis, you know, to begin with. So there are certain people that hypnosis just doesn't work for. There are some that find it extremely beneficial. I've had clients that had stopped drinking alcohol because a hypnosis session had been successful for them, right? And during the session, they may envision a drink or even have a drink, and, you know, they might pair that hypnotically with a terrible smell, right? Sulfur or something, right? As you sip the drink, you imagine, and, you know, during this hypnotic session, you might, you know, have the smell of sulfur paired with the drink. And then you know, in your daily life, every time you see a drink, then suddenly you get a smell of something that's sulfur, right? And, you know, things like that. But yeah.
I did that to somebody once. I was playing with hypnosis when I was 19 or 20. Mm-hmm. And we hypnotized somebody in my home who had a smoking problem. And the post-hypnotic suggestion was, of course, if you try to smoke a cigarette, it'd be very bitter. Mm-hmm. And I made a big deal of it. And true enough, when he became awake, he tried to smoke and couldn't. But obviously, suggestions like that don't last long. And every day, over and over again, his friends would say, "Do you want to smoke? Do you want to smoke?" Finally, he was smoking cigarettes again. Now, maybe if they left him well enough alone, he might have gotten out of the habit. But because they forced him into it, it undid what I did. That's my experience anyway. I don't know how much it means. I just read these little dime store How to Hypnotize books. That's my extensive knowledge on the subject.
Yeah. There are for some people I've heard where those kind of things do continue to work for at least a little while. But like you say, oftentimes those effects seem to kind of peter off. But
my mother was a big believer in hypnosis. She was a nurse, and she tells me she had two children under hypnosis without, you know, any other pain medication. So yeah. It seems unbelievable. I just can't imagine that it would work on pain, but maybe it is magic.
Mind over matter, right? Mind over matter.
So, if our listeners, one of us, so if we had a UFO experience or, you know, any kind of paranormal experiences, and so what's the process to document, report it? You know, what would you, if so many people have had it happen to them and then it's only later they tell about it and then they regret it. So how do you do it right where you've got a record of it and, you know, there's some documentation and, you know, you don't want to go to who do you want to avoid? Who do you want to talk to first?
Yeah, a couple of things on that, Mike. Big advice will be write down things as they come up, as you remember them. Do some journaling, right? You know, even if it's just waking up and recalling something or as things come into your mind, writing that stuff down as it happens or as you recall it. You know, that's a great way to make sure that stuff doesn't kind of float back down or sink back down out of memory, right? We all wake up sometimes and recall tidbits of things that we forget later, right? And so writing stuff down is just a huge one, documenting it in that way. My biggest thing, like I say, I think it's fine to make a report to a UFO research organization, you know, if you have a sighting or an experience, but just keeping in mind there is and there should be a clear distinction between a UFO investigator and a therapist, right? One person's role is to figure out what's going on about UFOs, and the other person's role is to help the person having the experience kind of figure that out for themselves. At least that's my kind of brief take on it, right?
And so in a more extreme experience, which we hear a lot less about these days, but if it was like an abduction type experience, so in that case, they probably, if they feel terror and it's disrupting their lives, they probably should get help. So how should they go about doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think finding a therapist or somebody that that works well with you, that you have a good personal rapport with, but that also doesn't really have a large investment in UFOs either way, I think is probably the best way to go, right? That doesn't have any preconceived ideas or doesn't want a person's case to use in a book, right, to promote their narrative. There are plenty of people that do mental health work that are open, you know, to discussing ideas about all kinds of experiences, right? I mean, and doing work and kind of really, well, doing severe trauma recovery work, right? I deal with people that have some experiences that are really at the extremes of human, you know, experience, living through torture, living through, you know, reports of ritual abuse and all kinds of, you know, there's a lot of strange things that people go through in life, people report, and, you know, just finding somebody that can help you get through that process and is not, whose interest is not in getting the story out so that they can publish it in their book or, you know, use it to promote their narrative about what UFOs are. And going with somebody who is a professional in that area, right? Not somebody that you maybe get, you know, that's associated with a UFO group, for example.
Now, I don't want to seem disrespectful and all, but I will say this. As soon as you decide to go to somebody who is involved with UFO investigation and want to be examined, you're basically saying there was a UFO abduction.
Right, yeah.
Not something else. We've got more to come with Dr. Tim and Gene and Kurt. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. original cherry. Okay, 25,000 cherry next prize.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Our guest, Dr. Tim Brigham, Kirk Collins. I'm Gene Steinberg. And by the way, Tim will be back for the After the Paracast podcast. So we still got more of him. Kirk, you were about to ask a question.
Well, one last thing on the hypnosis. Some UFO groups have members that will offer to hypnotize you. I'm going to assume you don't recommend that.
I would be very leery of that. Yeah, I would. And, you know, just kind of continuing on that thought, Kurt, that we were just talking about, what, you know, if you're a person that has a possibly questionable, unusual experience, and let's say you do go to today, maybe, I don't know, but, you know, Bud's not around anymore, but you went to David Jacobs, what happens if during the course of that discussion, you know, it turns out you didn't have a UFO, maybe it was something else, right? What if it was a, you know, what happens to that person once they've gotten into the office of a UFO investigator to, you know, to dig out their UFO story, and it turns out maybe it wasn't that at all? What happens then? I'm sure there are a lot of great people that you know, desire to do good things to help others and using things like hypnosis to work with folks, but yeah, it's just a very, very touchy thing, right? Very something I'd suggest people be very, very careful with.
Yeah, you just don't want to play with your mental health.
Yeah, you know, there's really no way to tell whether it's a memory or a fabrication, right? We don't have a way to reliably know. And when you recall something under hypnosis, the tendency for most people is that they believe that. It feels believable, even if it wasn't necessarily objectively accurate. So
we don't have real people doing what they do in the TV show Poker Face, which is on the Peacock Network. It's about a woman who could look at somebody and know whether they're lying or not. I mean, there was a TV show some years back that had the same theory called Lie to Me.
Okay.
Except the person who's in Poker Face, her name is Natasha Lyonne. And she, first of all, is a brilliant actress nominated for Emmys. But she plays the character with her New York accent kind of like a female Columbo, you know, like scratching the head and everything. So mm-hmm. I'd recommend it. But then the point being, it's something that doesn't exist, which is the ability to look at somebody and know if they're lying or not.
Yeah.
I've not seen the show. Is this almost a psychic thing or is this a learned skill?
It's never really explained. There are 10 episodes. We're in episode 6. And it's never explained how she has this ability, but that she does have the ability. It's more about what she does with it and the crazy situations in which they put her. And there are a lot of kind of famous guest stars.
I did watch a show, Lie to Me, that you mentioned. And that was based on the science of reading body language and micro expressions and things like that. Similar to what we were talking about earlier in the video analysis. So, well, Tim, what kind of study have you put into that? You know, for the experience and the expressions is what I meant to say, and behavior of a person, how much does that give away about the truthfulness of what they're saying?
Yeah, you know, there can be a lot there, right? And first of all, from my role, I'd like to try to assume that people are always being as honest as they can, at least unless I have reason to think otherwise, right? So there's some differences there. If you're doing investigation work for the police, right, they may use it differently than I might, right, as a clinician. But, yeah, there's a huge amount of stuff there, right, of this idea of, like you mentioned, micro-expressions. There's the old idea about eye accessing and being able to watch a person's eyes as they go to the left versus the right, with, you know, one side being associated with recalling something that actually happened and the other side being reflective of an internal process of creating something that didn't happen, right? So a lot of stuff like that, right? Again, you know, in my own case, I think as a clinician, it's always best to try to believe the idea that your clients are being as honest as they can, right? So maybe that's a little bit of a difference from being a UFO investigator, right? Which I think there should be a clear distinction there, right? I don't think it's a good idea that mental health and UFO investigation should occur from the same person, right, or the same party. And oftentimes I think there are UFO organizations that might have referrals to kind of objective, you know, clinicians and therapists and stuff they can refer you to. But yeah, anybody that has a dog in the hunt, so to speak, or that does it full time or is writing a book or wants to tell, you know, those are the things I'd certainly be leery of.
Again, they're getting what they're looking for.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
And what about the machines that are supposed to be, you know, so there's been so much controversy over the polygraph machine, and then strangely, the government and a lot of employers rely on it in screening employees. And there's, voice stress analysis, and I'm not sure what else there is. What do you think about those as far as the reliability?
Yeah, you know, those are tools that can certainly be useful in those arenas. My understanding about polygraph is that it's often a kind of just a tool for a form of theater, right, where the importance of the thing is the conversation you have with the suspect about, you know, hey, you're going to be caught by this polygraph. It might be time to give it up now, right? Or, you know, if I convince you that the polygraph is going to really detect it, well, when you start taking that polygraph, you might start showing really severe signs of dishonesty. You know, now you're really sweating, right? So, you know, if I gave a polygraph to somebody I hadn't spoken to before and I just did the poly, and I, you know, I'm not an experienced person with polygraph, I'm just kind of talking from a psychological perspective, right? But that it's the entirety of the thing, right? It's the entirety of using that polygraph as kind of a prop, right? To let somebody know that we're going to know if you're telling a lie. And there is some truth to that, right? Your changes in your respiration, changes in, you know, one of the things in behavior analysis we talk about is kind of what are visible signs that somebody's reptilian brain is coming online, right? Their reptile brain is their fear brain, right? Their, you know, emotional brain, not as much the rational stuff. But when people start blinking really fast, right, changes in breathing, if you get really good at behavior analysis, you can see somebody's neck, you know, their neck throbbing as their heart rate changes. You got to have a pretty good eye for that. But, you know, stuff like that, I think, can be really useful, right? So there's a lot to be offered by. And people criticize, right, reading body language. Some people say it's junk science. It's kind of a combination of art and science and reality, I think, right? But
I just want to mention very briefly, there are applications available, like in the Apple iPhone App Store, that purport to do voice stress analysis.
Mm.
Okay, I wouldn't recommend you necessarily try one, although I guess it might be fun as long as it's free or low cost, who knows. We've got a lot more to talk about with Dr. Tim Brigham, and I'd like to bring it up on our After the Paracast podcast. But for now, for those who want to know more about the work that you do, is there a place they can contact you?
Well, you know, I'm not really promoting a book or trying to sell anything, but I'm always happy if people have questions about where they can, you know, get referrals for whether it be trauma recovery or just general mental health stuff, or how to approach finding somebody to work with. You know, people can find me on Twitter, I guess, is a place to locate me easily. I'm always happy to field questions or refer people out, you know, to where they might be able to find some assistance. So just look for me on Twitter, just under my name.
What about this lecture, UFOs as Agents of Psychic Transformation? Can anyone see a video of it?
I believe it's on YouTube now. I think Alejandro Rojas put it on YouTube. I think you should be able to do a quick YouTube search and find it. Not 100% on that, but if I can, I'll have to see if I can dig up a link. Maybe I'll post it on Twitter here in the near future so anybody interested can find it.
I'll ask Alejandro about it, perhaps, yeah. Too. You can find us on X, formerly Twitter, Threads, formerly whatever, Facebook, if you look for the Paracast, okay, so look for the Paracast. You can also check out our branded merchandise at theparacast.store with four different logos to choose from. We also offer the Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus, and this is a streaming service where you get this show without the network ads, and the After the Paracast podcast, a special bonus show, where, as a matter of fact, Dr. Tim Brigham will be back with me and Kurt to talk more about the things that we do. We give you a 20% discount for five-year or lifetime subscriptions if you use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus. Kurt Collins, where can we find you?
Look for my work at Blue, Blurry Lines, and The Saucers That Time Forgot.
Dr. Tim Brigham, a fellow traveler. We both worked with Jim Moseley over the years. Thank you for joining us on The Paracast.
Thanks, guys.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.